you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Welcome to the Twilight Histories, an audio fiction that casts you as the hero. You are about to pass into an alternate universe. It will be strange, fascinating, and perhaps terrifying. To survive, you can't just be a tourist. You must become a part of the world you explore. This is your adventure. Today, we're re-releasing a story I put out a couple years ago called Frozen Earth. It was published as a short at the start of a longer show, kind of like a teaser. But Frozen Earth is one of those stories that's always felt special to me, and I felt it should have its own dedicated episode. If for no other reason, then I'd like to be able to share it more easily with people when they ask for a sample of the Twilight Histories. When I wrote this show, I'd been reading a lot of Chinese science fiction at the time and wanted to write something in that style. If you don't know anything about Chinese science fiction, it's really incredible stuff. It's so creative. And the ideas are often so huge that they almost seem to bridge into fantasy. I've read articles that try to explain the Chinese science fiction phenomenon, and here's my own take. We in the West have experienced massive change, but over many generations, so we have a certain tempo for change that we're used to. By historical standards, it's quite fast, but within our own lives, it takes generations. So, 200 or 300 years ago, we were an agricultural economy. Then came steam engines, cars, planes, rockets, and all the rest. But all this change happened over lifetimes. So that's the tempo we're used to. The Chinese, on the other hand, have had that massive intergenerational change compressed into a decade or two. So the village kid grows up on a farm, and by the time they're an adult, they've seen spaceflight, AI, maglev trains, and all the rest, all while being surrounded by a hyper-futuristic city that's grown up around them. Their tempo of change is so much faster than ours. If you take that tempo of change and project it even just a little ways into the future, you can see why their science fiction writers come up with such wild ideas as tunnels through the Earth, or even turning the whole Earth into a giant intergalactic spaceship. I feel like Chinese science fiction takes the bumper rails we're used to in our stories and just tosses them away. Anything and everything is possible. Well, within the limits of the party censors, of course. There is that little issue. Anyways, this is my attempt at writing in the Chinese style. This is Frozen Earth by myself, Jordan Harbour, from Sleepy Canada. I hope you like it. You run your gloved finger through the boiling liquid. It's thick like olive oil. You scoop it up into a pool in your hands and watch it boil into the vacuum of space before floating back as a mist to the churning sea around your boat. You look up at the moon, a dim crescent among the fireworks of stars. next to the moon, is another crescent, slightly smaller, more distant, and a stunning blue. The planet Neptune. You exhale, trying to release the tension in your chest. The timer on your wrist says you've been on the surface for over 60 hours. You are only supposed to be up for 4. You've long since finished your food tubes, but more importantly, your oxygen is running out. You look back at Earth's liquefied atmosphere, as you've done 1,000 times. There it is, an ocean of air, yet not a breath to breathe. I can't take it anymore, Feidao says. He rises, stops, then heads for the rail. Xia Jia grabs his leg. Stop your theatrics, she says. Come on, help me, she says to you. You rush over and grab Fei Dao around the waist. Get off me, he says. You're the only one who knows how the solar panels work. I'm not letting you jump off the boat. I told you, the Earth stopped spinning. There's not enough sun, please. Our oxygen is almost out. Just let me die my own way. You're in a suit, you fool. You'll float down to the bottom. It'll take you the same amount of time to die. You'd rather die down there in that liquid? I want to die in our atmosphere. I'm not letting you go. Feidao stops fighting. He sits down on the deck of the small fishing boat. I know you're upset, Xia Jia says. But we've got a chance. All we need is for the Earth to just turn a little. Just enough to poke over the horizon. It's been 3 days. Neptune's gravity has messed it up. It's not going to happen. But it might. We still have some oxygen. The main tanks are empty. All we have is what's on our backs. There has to be some way to fill them. We're on a sea of oxygen. We've been over this before. There's no power without the solar panels. Without power, we can't run the generators, so we can't fill the tanks. Then let's paddle. Where? We're lost. How about those islands over there? You have enough strength to paddle? We can't give up and die. Fine, you rest, and I'll paddle. You turn off your radio. They've been fighting like this for days, ever since you discovered you were lost. You lean over the edge and run your fingers through the liquid air while listening to the sound of your breathing. How many more breaths will your tank give you? Will it hurt? Maybe if you sleep, it won't hurt. You'll just drift away. Boat thunks to a stop, jarring you from a daydream. You leap to your feet. Xia Jia turns on her flashlight. After so long in the dark, the beam hurts your eyes. You turn on your radio. The two scavengers are in mid-fight. Black hole, you fool, Xia Jia says. No one knows that for sure. It could have been anything. What else could have flung us out into space? Everyone knows it was a black hole. It could have been anything. A gravitational anomaly. What do you think a black hole is? Yeah, but it could have been aliens for all we know. Aliens. There it is. Finally comes out. Would you two stop fighting for a moment, you say. Let's go and check out the island. You jump off the boat and land waist deep in the boiling liquid atmosphere. Xia Jia and Fei Dao follow. The shore is thick ice. It's cracked and rough. The bowl of stars is interrupted by the dark slope of the island. Let's get to the top and look around, Xia Jia says, and marches ahead of you. You start to climb. You feel tired, and you notice you're wheezing a bit. You look at your gauge. It says your tank is nearly empty. "We should have topped up before we left the boat," you say to Fei Dao. "It doesn't matter. There's nothing left in our reserve tanks. What we've got on our backs is all there is." "Are you two complaining again?" Xie Jia says.
"Not complaining. It's just information."
"Not all information is equally important."
"You think our tanks being empty isn't the most important thing to us right now?"
"No. I think getting to the top of the hill and looking around is much more important. So that's what I'm focusing on. Listen, my friend. These past 5 years since the Earth left its orbit have been terrible. And the most terrible years are yet to come. The Earth will leave the solar system and drift off into deep space. If humanity is to survive, we must adapt, and that means we must look for opportunities. Do you understand?" For once, Fei Dao doesn't argue with her. He says nothing. His head is down. He's pushing on his knees to help him climb. You see the beam of Xie Jia's flashlight far ahead, bouncing up the side of the hill.
"You are very smart, Fei Dao. Much smarter than me. I don't know the first thing about generators or solar panels. You rigged up the boat. You made these suits. Because of you, humanity is able to return to the surface. You are a true hero, Fei Dao. You are important, but you have to change the way you look at things. Do you understand? Am I getting through to you?"
"Xie Jia, I'm tired."
"Okay, stay there. I'll go to the top and look around." Fei Dao sits in the ice and slumps over. He gives you the sense of death. It scares you, but you stay with him. You're also tired.
"Shanghai," Xie Jia says.
"You see it?"
Fei Dao says.
"Yes, and more important, there's the sun. You see, you've got to think positively."
"How much sun?"
"I can see it shining right through the buildings. It's a beautiful sight. It's perfect. Fei Dao, we can power your solar panels. We're saved."
"I'm too tired," Fei Dao says.
"All we have to do is row around the island. Oh, that beautiful sunrise. I've never seen a more beautiful sunrise in all my life."
Xie Jia is already leaping down the dark side of the hill.
"I'm dying," Fei Dao says. "My vision is going black."
"Hang in there, I'm coming for you."
You see the beam of light bouncing down the hill towards you. Your oxygen is extremely low, and every breath is a struggle. But now you have hope. Hope has awakened something in you. Xie Jia approaches. She helps Fei Dao up.
"I can't," he says.
You go on the other side and help lift him. Together, you and Xie Jia carry him down the hill.
"Hold in there. We'll take you down to the boat and get you a bit more oxygen."
"I keep telling you, there's no more oxygen."
"You're going to be fine. You hear me? But you remember what I said."
You and Xie Jia stumble your way through the dark to the boat. Xie Jia climbs up first and pulls Fei Dao up. You collapse into the liquid atmosphere in exhaustion.
"You coming?"
Xie Jia says.
"Give me a moment to catch my breath," you say.
Your head falls under the liquid. Your visor fills with millions of bubbles, tinted silver blue by Neptune and the moon. It's so hard to breathe. You wish you could take the hose and capture these bubbles. But of course, that's impossible. You pull yourself out of the liquid atmosphere and up onto the boat. You lie on the deck, exhausted, next to Fei Dao.
"Where's Xie Jia?"
you say.
"I don't know. I don't know where she found more oxygen, but she gave me some more. My tank has a little more in it. Xie Jia, where are you? Where is she? She's not answering her radio." Feidao leaps to his feet and runs around the boat. You hear him scream.
"What is it?"
you say, and pull yourself to your knees. Feidao doesn't say anything, but you can hear him breathing heavily through the radio.
"What is it? Why did you scream?"
With great effort, you walk around the boat. You see Feidao leaning next to something.
"What is that?"
"It's Xia Jia's suit."
"She couldn't have," you say.
"She did. She must have given me the last of her oxygen, then jumped."
You stand there looking down at the boiling cauldron. Somewhere down there, in that mix of sub-zero liquid, nitrogen and oxygen, is Xia Jia's body.
"What a way to die," you say. "She died for humanity," Feidao says. "Now we have to live for humanity. Come on, let's row."
That was Frozen Earth by myself, Jordan Harbour. It's a story that was inspired by Chinese science fiction, and in particular, it's massively influenced by a short story called Wandering Earth by author Xishen Liu. If you're interested in trying out what I think is a really incredible and refreshing style of writing, you can't go wrong with Xishen Liu. That's C-I-X-I-N, Xishen. His most famous work is called The Three-Body Problem, which is excellent, one of my all-time favorite book series. If you're into audiobooks, most of Xishen's stuff is widely available and is also well-produced, in English translation, of course. If you enjoyed this show, please consider becoming a patron of The Twilight Histories. You'll get access to a ton of Twilight History shows not available to the public, and if you stick around for a bit, we'll send you merchandise as a reward, such as a Twilight Histories mug, shirt, sticker, or hoodie. Go to the website at twilighthistories.com and follow the link to our Patreon page, or go directly to Patreon and look up The Twilight Histories. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thank you for listening to The Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.